And we're going to get into our next interview straight away because this is something I'm very passionate about.
Oh, so am I. Architecture.
Architecture. And it's something that I've kind of come to later in my life, I guess. But it's actually been appreciation.
Appreciation, mainly because you were brought up on the Gold Coast. There is no architecture.
Higher than two levels.
No, but it's not beautiful architecture up there,
that's
is there,
true,
like
that's
like
true.
This city.
A bit disposable up there. But, down here there are so many places to explore, and Open House Melbourne does such a fantastic job of opening Melbourne's doors each year.
Yep.
So we've got someone. Who have we got in, David?
Well, we've got Emma Telford. Hello, Emma. We had you on last year, didn't we?
You did. Thank you for having me back.
No, absolute pleasure. Now, Open House, it's getting bigger and bigger every year. Is it getting too out of control now? Is it to the stage where you yell at you
shut
can't
shop.
Cope?
Just shut shop and forget about it. I hope not. Look, I think, we've had a significant amount of growth this year. We've got 200 buildings open.
Wow.
All across metropolitan Melbourne. So that's
And that's what you've done more so these days, isn't it? Where it used to be very concentrated, it's a broader sweep now of Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And look, I guess that's in response to it being, like you said, is it too big? Is it too much? We really want to encourage people to get out in their own neighbourhoods instead of being obsessed about the inner city, really famous and significant buildings. Let's think about what's in your local neighbourhood that you've been intrigued by that is significant in its own way but perhaps is overlooked. And so this year, for the first time, we've really been able to do that with the spread of buildings across Melbourne.
Right. Highlights?
Always a difficult question. One for me that I'm yet to see but really keen on is the St. Mary's House of Welcome down on Brunswick Street in Fitzroy is
right.
Open for the first time.
Okay.
So they don't operate on the Sunday, so they're opening the doors to the public. And even though it is actually a public space, anybody can go in there and use the services.
Right.
It's not often that we actually feel confident enough to go in and explore
the spaces. It's a nun order, isn't it?
That's right. And they provide services to the general public, but basically for people who are in need.
Yep.
And so you can go in and use computers, you can go and have a meal, and you can seek refuge for the day.
Right. And isn't have I got the right place? Is it the place that's got a window with the Virgin Mary in the window? Is that the one?
It's an old heritage building which has been refurbished, I think, about 6 or 7 years ago by Six Degrees Architects, who are a great architecture firm from Melbourne. And so it's a great mix of old and new, and that's why I like it, but also because the organisation talks about how architecture has positively impacted the residents and the people who use that space. So they've got a lower level of violent episodes, a lower level now of call-outs to emergency services, because the architecture has actually really opened up the space and created a feeling of trust and transparency.
Right. Now, but you've, apart from just talking generally about Open House, you've come in to talk about something, and this is what I'm loving about what you're doing these days. Brutalism. We spoke a couple of years ago about that.
Last year.
Was that only last year? Was that last year?
Feels like a lifetime ago, but that was last year.
Tell us what special little events you've got happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have... We're speaking about growth in 200 buildings. This year, we've got a full month of programming. So 22 special events that kicked off from the 1st of July. But, I guess our brutalism program for this year is actually around Jane Jacobs, and it's called What Would Jane Do? And Jane is, she's since passed, she's no longer with us, a leading American urbanist and city activist who was really vocal and active in the 1960s in Manhattan. And then she moved on to Toronto. And she really was about how people use cities. And
is she an architect? Was she?
No, she wasn't a trained urban planner or architect. She was a journalist.
Right.
And she was a keen observer of culture and how people use space. She was also a mother, and that was something that she was criticised of as she went through her battle, which the Jane Jacobs program looks at. But no, she didn't come from a design background.
Do you think that, the architects are losing sight of, being, Frank Lloyd Wright, who broke so many rules, and you know, a lot of people said, no, that won't stand up. His mushrooms that he created for, instead of just pillars in the middle of a room. It's a different era now, that where architects can't be because the money's not there, and developers don't want to spend it on design. They're just after get it up, which is sad in a way, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Look, I think it's complex, and there's a mix of things happening in Melbourne. If we think about Melbourne at the moment, there are some really fantastic developments happening, and new development is important for the city and the city's growth. But we're also faced with some significant growing pains as we develop pretty rapidly.
Yep.
And I think we're seeing that, especially in the top end of the city around the Queen Victoria markets, there's some developments that have been approved that aren't generous at a street level, aren't thinking about the quality of life within the building, are not great scale compared to the rest of the buildings in that precinct. So we've got this mixed bag of really excellent new developments happening, and then these really kind of substandard developments. And I feel like we're sort of losing our way a little bit in pockets, but not entirely.
But having sort of a program around what would Jane do, is that kind of a bit of a call to arms for people to actually get more involved at a grassroots level when it comes to architecture in your own city?
Absolutely. So Jane was very much about encouraging people to have a voice around the development of their city. And she's most famous for her battle against a kind of city planner in the 60s, Robert Moses. And he was planning all of these major urban regeneration projects, which were wiping out huge swaths of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And Jane started to push back on that and rally local citizens to push back because they were destroying neighbourhoods which they thought had great urban character. They were successful. They were successful with the main challenge, which was around a project called the Lower Manhattan Expressway. It was a major expressway that was going to carve up the lower parts of Manhattan. And the film Citizen Jane Battle for the City, which is the core part of our What Would Jane Do program, really focuses in on that battle. It's got some great historic footage of those urban regeneration projects going through, and also what Manhattan looked like in the 1930s up to the 1960s. Mm. It's a great film. And Jane is delightful and formidable at the same time. I wish we had a Jane Jacobs of our era.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's the problem, isn't it? That people aren't standing up as much as they used to, although Melbourne people do. I think Melbourne people, you know, like, there's been such an outcry with the market, hasn't there? You know, like, the development of that, and a lot of the ideas have been pushed to one side because people aren't sure. We're pretty good, really.
We are pretty good. If you look at the Palace Theatre, yes, and everything that's happened around that project,
yeah,
there was a lot of public outcry and protests and conversations. But unfortunately, it didn't get us anywhere. We still lost the battle with the Palace,
yep,
and that's about to be developed. But then you look at the Corkman pub, the one that was demolished without any planning permit. There was a lot of public outcry about that. But I think that we could be more active. Mm. The city's changing pretty rapidly, and we are losing some significant buildings that aren't necessarily heritage protected.
Yep.
What's some of the feedback then, you know, going into that you've received from people that come to Open House, people like myself who have kind of grown a love for architecture just by being exposed to more? You know, what are some of the good stories that you've got coming out of Open House Melbourne?
Oh, there's so many great, great stories. And I think actually going back to the St. Mary's House of Welcome, that's a really beautiful example of a relifing of a heritage building with sensitive architecture, and it's working and operating really well. And we are also opening up some of the new developments that you may find a little challenging, but that's part of the mission of Open House is, you know, get to know parts of the city that you may not know about or you may be challenged by, and come and learn and then be empowered. So we are opening one of the super tall towers down on Franklin Street, Franklin or A. Beckett. And that's not part of the Elizabeth Street development, but is still one of the large towers going up. So it's an opportunity to go and see what actually the living conditions are like in those towers.
Yeah, and the views.
And the views, yes.
That's the wonderful, like looking out the windows here, a joy. You know, the views is a treat every time.
Yes.
I know that's not part of your open house, but the Gat Week, you know, like down in St Kilda,
yes.
It was open yesterday.
Was it?
It was. They had an open day yesterday.
Oh, I missed
it. And it was in both papers this morning. It covered it. And I live down there around the corner, and I was heading off to go to the footy and saw a sandwich board out the front and a few people milling. It was a treat because what it's done down in St Kilda, you know, like it's been a horrible period in the last, say, 15, 20 years because it went really nasty. And since it closed, how different the street, Fitzroy Street's become. But going into this building yesterday was one of the most exciting things I've done. Like, it's beautiful. It really is still, you know, to this day, quite beautiful. So
they're planning on developing that site, aren't they?
They are. It's that TV show next year. But I'm sure they're not allowed to touch it. They're not allowed. The staircase and the you know, like, and there's this like a ballroom, and it was the main dining room. It's stunning. It was
well. If anyone follows David on social media, they would have seen a few of the pics up there yesterday.
Yeah,
and I loved seeing that.
And in this beautiful, like, it looks like a ballroom, but it was actually the dining room. The kitchen was off to one side, which they didn't use as a dining room in the end. There was this guy with his greyhound who he asked him if he could bring it in, and they went, yeah, sure, you know, what, you know, and I got this, yeah, believe me, they've had worse. And you know, like, and this the greyhound was in the middle of this huge, beautiful, like, ballroom. It was a great shot. I'm very pleased. So,
well, yeah, I was going to say, like David, you know, was astounded by that. Are there still places that you just, you know, your jaw drops when you walk?
Yeah, there must be. Is there?
I think the Flinders Street Station ballroom is always a favourite, and that's. It was quite a sigh.
I still haven't been into it.
No one can because it's pretty much falling down.
We used to open it, but we could only ever get 20 people through.
Yeah.
And it's because of there's safety issues around the plaster work that's falling off the building. But we are seeing some positive moves down on Flinders Street.
Yep.
They've been repainting the exterior. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
which looks beautiful.
It does look beautiful.
I saw a photograph on the southern side. One section's now open.
Yeah.
And somebody took a photo out of one of the buildings across the other side of the river. It looks, as somebody said, it looks like a Lego. You know, it's so precise and so beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, well, if they're shooting from across the river, they're also shooting the faux brickwork, which is actually metal, but was made to look like big sort of bricks or stone or red bricks. But they couldn't use heavy material because it was sitting on quite uneven, destabilised land.
And now you must know the story. Tell people about the actual design when it was sent out from England.
Oh, the confusion with the design. Yes, yeah, it's a really interesting story where we actually received. Now we received the station, the Indian train station, instead of, was it Bombay?
Bombay.
It was Bombay.
And Bombay have got the station at Melbourne. So it was set, and because it came out by boats in that era, they, you know, like, they started building it, and all of a sudden they went, "Oops, we've sent the wrong ones to the wrong cities," and it was too late.
No quick email. You do hope, though, like seeing how much civic pride there is in that site with the repainting of the exterior. We do hope that they will find more money because $100 million to start repair work is not a lot when you're talking about a building of that scale. So hopefully this is the start of a long road of restoration and that we will eventually see that space, the ballroom, and also all of the other amazing spaces. There's an old gym, the rooftop, accessible to the public once again.
But why not sell it off to a hotel chain or whatever? You know, like, Get investors involved.
Yeah. Well, we're looking for a new home, open houses. That'd make for a great space.
We could just meet you in the ballroom.
Yeah.
Now, how can people find out about this film and where's it playing?
So, Citizen Jane, Battle for the City, is playing at ACME for the whole month of July. Do get down. It's a wonderful film. And so it's all ticketed through ACME. And then with the Citizen Jane program that we're running, there's also two talks happening at the Wheeler Centre at the end of the month, coming up very quickly, on the 25th and 26th.
Oh, gosh, that's crazy, isn't it? This month's gone.
And one of those talks is Battle for the City, or Battle for Our Buildings, I should say, and that is very much focused on, you know, battling for buildings that we have strong emotional attachment to but aren't necessarily protected on the Heritage Register. And then we have a series of citizen-led walking tours happening as well across the weekend, 29th and 30th of July.
I'm interested in those. Yes.
Now, Emma, tell for everyone that wants to get one of the ticketed events, because I know they sell out very quickly, so we want our Sunday Arts audience to get in first. So when do those tickets open?
So, well, the tickets for Citizen Jane are available now, and it's screening now. It launched on the 1st of July. In terms of ticketed events for Open House, we have a very small number of limited access buildings, and we open bookings for those buildings on the 17th of July at 8:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. So be ready. And we just charge a little $5 booking fee, and that's just to ensure that people turn up. Apart from that, everything else we do really is for free, and there's a huge number of buildings, over 100 buildings, that you can just turn up and you can do a self-guided tour, or you can queue up for a tour instead of needing to book in.
Which is awesome. I love that there's a mixture of the two, but I can understand why you do the ticketed ones because, you want to get as many people in. You don't want people just sort of...
Well, we don't want people to miss out. And we've found in the past free events... pretty, you know, casual with turning up. And so by introducing a $5 booking fee, now we only have about 10% that don't show up. And it just means that more people get to go through.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your website?
openhousemelbourne.org.
Okay, excellent, and thank you so much for coming in. A little bit confusion, but that no one needs to know that. Thank you so much for bringing this back to us every year, because it's such an important part of Melbourne now, isn't it?
It is. Well, we like to think so. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're on Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy 94.9.